Now, if you turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 6, Paul's letter to the church at Galatia, chapter 6. I'll read verses 1 through 5, which will constitute the basis of our meditation this morning. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. May the blessings of the Lord rest upon the reading of this portion of His Word. Father, wilt thou bless the presentation of this work by Brother Hathcock and grant that the response of the people will be pleasing in thy sight. Now bless us in these next few moments that follow. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Galatians chapter 5. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I like the word brethren. People call me Reverend, the very right Reverend. Some call me Saint Ed. Some call me, well, they do. Because I am a saint. I'm not one of those, when they mention my name, somebody says, bless his sainted memory. I'm still alive. I became a saint the moment I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I like to be called a brother. They're brethren in the flesh. They're brethren in lodges, fraternal organizations. They're brothers in many walks of life. I think of what Abraham said to Lot on one occasion. Let there be no strife between us. We be brethren. We're brothers. I always like to think of that which purportedly said by a little girl about 4 or 5 years old, carrying a little brother about 1 or 2 years old, as big as she was. She was stumbling along carrying him, and somebody said as she passed, "Oh, honey, isn't he heavy?" She said, "No, he's my brother." Brethren. Here is a brother writing to brethren. Paul, a brother of all who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a universality in brotherhood of Christians. That's a little different brotherhood to any other. There are many Christians closer possibly to many of us than our own blood and flesh family who are not Christians. Brethren. We're brethren because of the blessings that we are going to inherit one day if we're faithful unto the Lord. We're brethren because we're careful for and interested in others. And I like, as I've said many, many times, just to be called Brother Wilson. In my seminary days, there was a young boy from Bohemia that had a room across the hall from me. And we went to prayer meeting together and town together, many places. And he always called me Brother Wilson. Brother Wilson, Brother Wilson. And one day I said to him, George, you know me well enough now. I don't think you have to call me Brother Wilson. He said, okay, Brother Ed. And he called me Brother Ed from then on. I didn't try to set him straight on that. Brethren, if a man, and the context shows that this man is a brother, if a man be overtaken in a fault, if a man be overtaken in a fault, the Greek is a little stronger, emphasizing, even if a man be overtaken in a fault. Well, you know as I how oft that happens. You know as I, the Word of God is at one. Bringing out the truth, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after righteousness, no, not one. We've all gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. If any man saith he hath not sinned, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And on and on and on. The word overtaken commands our attention for a while. There's no unanimity of interpretation on that. However, the majority after whom I've been privileged to read want that to read that if a fault overtakes a man, then ye which are spiritual restore such an one. But further study of the word, going back to my choice source, Dr. Robertson and his word studies, he says the primary meaning of the word overtake is to detect, to find out. If you detect a brother in a fault, that seemed far more reasonable to me, because if it was to be a man overtaken by a sin, the preposition would be by instead of in. And then, the more I thought of it, I tried to figure out how I could tell whether a sinning brother was overtaken by a sin or whether he overtook the sin. And I came to the conclusion there wasn't any way in the world which I could tell. He might tell me one way and it not be that way at all. And how many sin and are never detected other than by God? Oh, yes. be sure your sins will find you out. That has to do primarily with the Lord. Nothing is to be hidden from Him. David manifestly thought he could hide his sin from the Lord for nearly a year. But he didn't and he couldn't. If a man be detected in a sin, I don't mean to imply that sin consists in being caught. Many think today that as long as you're not caught or detected, that no sin has been present. But men are detected in sin. I could tell of chance meetings with individuals in compromising positions. Some people think that their God, whereas sees and knows all things where they live, that if they can go to another town, God can't see them and God will not recognize them and God will not know what they're doing. But Christians do know of other Christians sinning. Now, what does a Christian do when he detects or comes upon or learns about another Christian's sin? Well, there are the legalists who want to bring him out, expose him, put him to shame, cast him aside, no fellowship whatever. There are those who rejoice in detecting a Christian in sin because it makes them feel a little superior and a little better than the other, imagining that they themselves are free of sin. I want to just intersperse this thought right here. Neither you nor I can ever have a just appreciation of the Lord and what He has done for us and is doing for us until we come to see ourselves as we really are. When we see ourselves as sinners before God. And then come to realize what the Lord has done for us, then we have some appreciation for Him. Now, the Christian should not, when he detects another Christian in sin, get on the phone or over the fence or down the road and spread it. I invite your attention just a moment to 1 Corinthians 13. I want you to turn there with me. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 4. King James translation uses the word charity for love. I'm going to translate it love. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love suffereth long. Love suffereth long. Love puts up with a lot of things. And is kind. Treat a person kindly. A Christian detects another Christian in a sin. His love's going out to that one. And he's going to deal with him kindly or in meekness, as Paul says in Galatians. Love doesn't envy. Love doesn't vaunt itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Love doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. Oh, how many Christians try to find something evil in everything that others say. How many construe everything from an evil point of view. But love doesn't think evil. Rejoices not in iniquity. Love is not happy to learn that another Christian has sinned. Love is not happy. Love doesn't rejoice when a Christian sins. Have you known an erring brother, a sinning Christian? Do you find your way to that secret chamber of prayer and prostrate yourself before the Lord on behalf of that one? Love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. Love hopeth all things, endureth all things. Brethren, Galatians 6 again. Brethren, you're now brothers, Paul. Now, if you or I detect a brother in sin, restore such an one. No. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. There are spiritual and there are carnal Christians. And we read in the Word of God that those who lead in the condemnation of other Christians are the ones who are committing the same sins which they condemn in others. I was thinking on yesterday, meditating upon this. Oftentimes I am persuaded when some Christians are quick to point out sin in this Christian and sin in that Christian, they're reverting to a ruse purportedly used by the old West outlaws who, when they were preparing to rob the bank, would send some of their number to the other end of the city and set some houses on fire and divert attention while everybody was down there, then they'd go and rob the bank. Well, as long as we can keep people looking at this Christian sin and that one, they're not looking at ours. Maybe. 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 Do you know what it is to meet with a sinning Christian? Clasp them to your bosom, mingle your tears with theirs, and pray with them as well as for them instead of at them. Ye which are spiritual, is not every Christian that can restore. Now let me say this. Here we have a commandment. As forceful as the commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt restore the brother that has been detected in sin. Suppose he doesn't want restoration. I think if he is a Christian, well, I know that if he is a Christian, ultimately he will want restoration. But I'll tell you, it's a delicate situation. It's difficult to deal with Christians and their sins. In my early ministry, I started to say I didn't know as much as I do now, or I didn't have as much sense as I do now. But that's all theoretical. But in my early ministry, I tried to cope with some situations. We hadn't been married long. And Ms. Wilson told me something that the neighbor across the street had told her about somebody that lived across the street there, about somebody that lived over here, about somebody that lived there. And I said, come on, let's go over here. Said, where? I said, over to this lady. She said, oh, no, where we went. And I got over there. I said to her, did you tell Ms. Wilson so-and-so? She said, yes, I did. Who told you? And she told me. So we went there. And I said, who told you? And she told me, and I went there, and went there. And brother, when I got through, I had the president of the Chamber of Commerce and the president of the bank in a back alley, both taking off their coats, getting ready to whip the other. Well, that was the last time I ever tried to trace down the source of anything. I tell you, beloved, I went to pastor a church that had had a knockdown and drag out the Christmas holidays. The superintendent of the schools, the coach of the football team, the organist of our church, prominent physician and surgeon, Sunday school teacher in a class across the street at another church were all involved. It was bloody. The doctor got a broken leg out of it. Some left town, resigned position, but some still stayed. And one Monday evening, when the school board was meeting, the pastor of the church across the street, a different denomination, came to me and he said, I want you to go with me. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to the school board meeting. I said, for what? He said, to demand the resignation of the superintendent of the schools on the grounds of immorality. I want you to go with me. I said, well, now, wait just a minute. There might be somebody on that school board that has more sense than you think. Now, if I was on the school board and you came to me and demanded the resignation of the superintendent on certain grounds, I would say, fine, we'd be glad to consider it. What's your indictment? We heard. I said, no, don't tell me what you heard. I want to know what you saw. Now I said, brother so-and-so, to the pastor, what do you know? What have you seen? Well, nothing, but I heard. I said, you go on by yourself. You go on by yourself. You go on. I'll tell you. What are you going to do when a Christian sins? Ye which are spiritual. Oh. Paul has been talking about the spiritual life. The fruit of the Spirit is love. What are you going to do when a Christian whom you love sins? Now, what are you going to do? Flaunt his name before the public. Spread it through the barbershop and the beauty shops. My understanding, there's no discrimination there between the sexes. One's as much to blame as the other, or one is as good as the other. I don't know how to express it. What are you going to do? Ye which are spiritual. What is a spiritual? Who is a spiritual being? We all have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. But how oft we neglect Him and ignore Him. The spiritual one recognizes the presence of the Holy Spirit, recognizes His leadership. The spiritual one is led by the Spirit of God. The spiritual one does according to the Word of God. The spiritual one is the one that will bring honor and glory to the Lord. The trouble in the church of Corinth, the trouble in the church of Galatia, the trouble with all the churches of the New Testament, same trouble we have today. We have many Christians, but too many of them are carnal. Too few are spiritual. Now, you carnal Christians, just leave them alone. You legalistic Christians, just leave them alone. You who set yourself up as judge and jury, you leave them alone. Ye which are spiritual. I'll tell you this, my beloved friend. When you begin to deal with a fellow Christian who sinned in an honest way, leave him alone. You legalistic Christian, just leave him alone. You who set yourself up as judge and jury, you leave him alone. Ye which are spiritual. I'll tell you this, my beloved friend. When you begin to deal with a fellow Christian who sinned in an honest way before the Lord, it'll raise questions in your own mind as to your own spirituality and as to whether you're qualified to deal with them or not. Ye which are spiritual, restore what such an one. Why? Because you yourselves may also be tempted and sin. I may be different, and I may not be different. I don't know. Self-evaluation has never been valuable for me or important to me. I'm kind of like the Apostle Paul in that respect. I don't even judge my own self. I don't. Who am I to judge myself or anybody else? But I'll tell you this. I never read of a minister defaulting. And it's amazing and almost amusing, were it not so tragic, how the media and carnal Christians exploit a minister who goes wrong. So, when I read of one going wrong here or there, the first prayer that wells up in my being is, thank you, Lord, that I was not subjected to the same temptations under the same circumstances. Thank you, Lord. John Newton, the Reformed drunkard who wrote the great song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Every time he saw a drunk, he'd say, but for the grace of God, there goes John Newton. Now remember, when you set up judgment, remember when you set up judgment, that you yourself may be in judgment tomorrow. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We have two expressions here that are most interesting. Verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 5, every man shall bear his own burden. There, I told you the Bible contradicted itself, and there it is. Well, if not, it's interesting about the Lord. Many people don't know that the Lord knows how to talk, that he knows how to express himself. They don't think the Lord knows the meaning of words. Here, the Spirit of the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, uses one Greek word in verse 2 for burden, and he uses a different word in the 5th verse for the word burden. We just, the King James translators, translated them both alike. Now, bear ye one another's burdens. Well, we've all got burdens. And we've all got heartaches. Some more manifest than the others. Some more vocal than others. Here's a family. Well, death has come. Bear their burden. You can go. A hand clasp. I've had some people tell me I never go where death is because I don't know what to say. To which I reply, well, you don't have to say anything. Praise God. You don't have to say a word. A hand clasp. A tear mingled with theirs. Just your presence. I have been in services of immediate members of my family. And look up and see a friend. Well, I'm thinking of one now whom I hadn't seen for 30 years or more come in. They didn't have to say anything. They didn't have to clasp my hand. Just the sight of them did something. He'd come to help bear my burden. A friend loses a job. They've got burdens. We're commanded by the Spirit of the Lord through the Apostle Paul to work with our hands and accumulate this world's goods and save some of it that we might be able to help those who are in need. Help. We can bear one another's burdens. I was getting ready to go to seminary. President of the bank, in whose home I had the privilege of living, called me one day to have lunch with him, and I went and had lunch. He said, I understand you're going to the seminary. I said, yes, I am. Well, his bank carried my overdraft, so he knew of my financial indisposition, or whatever you want to call it. He said, how you going? I said, you know, that's the first time I thought of how. All I knew, I was going. He said, what do you think it's going to cost you? I said, well, I don't know. Maybe $200 to get me there and get me started. And I believe I can get along on $40 a month. Board and room was $36. That left $4 for haircut and shine. Once or twice, I had to carry a violin case to town. I'll explain that later. But he said, okay, here's a check for $200 and I'll send you $40 a month. I said, well, here, let me sign a note. He said, no, I don't want any note. I said, well, I'll pay you back. Don't pay me back. Help somebody else along the way. And it's been my privilege to help boys in school, seminary, college, along the way. Just help somebody else. Bear one another's burdens. Help somebody else. Well, I made it. I had no trouble at all. I didn't take the 40 after the first year. I got a job waiting on tables and other few things and made it. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. You can't go to school if you want to. You can. You can. You may have to work a little bit. You may have to sweat a little bit, but you can make it if you want it. Help bear one another's burdens. Help somebody else along the way. Now this other, bear your own burdens. Now we've got sorrows and heartaches. Tragedy. Sin strikes a family. Have you ever noticed how Christians withdraw from one that sins? Have you ever met with a sinning Christian, brother or sister in the Lord? Clasp them to your bosom and pray with them. Help them. Now bear one another's burdens. But don't expect everybody else to come and bear your burdens. You've got your responsibilities that devolve upon you that are not to be borne by others. You bear those yourself. Brethren, brethren, I love that word. We be brethren. Brethren, if one of you be detected in a sin, you notice how the Spirit of the Lord says fault rather than sin. The Spirit of the Lord dealing kindly with the individual. He's not trying to palliate that sin. He's not trying to blot it out. Or he's not trying to write it off. But he knows human beings and the weakness of the flesh. Now, brethren, if any of you be detected in a fault, let those among you who are spiritual restore such an one. Oh, Father, Father, give us the Spirit of Christ that grieves when a brother in Christ sins. Give us the Spirit of Christ that'll cause our hearts to go out to Him and His heart to us when we sin. Help us to remember Thy precious promise that if we confess our sins, Thou art faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We ask in Christ's name.